back to Zillennials Podcast. Today on Zillennials, we're going to talk about different flowers because April showers bring May flowers. So we thought it'd be really cute to do a little section on flowers. I will make a side note right now because I think it would be beneficial. On the outline, I put in a whole bunch of different flowers. So I thought we could maybe go through and rank or talk about some of our favorite flowers.
I love that you put that in there because I did zero prep. I love also that there's pictures so I can like refer to something. But I was thinking before we get into that, we could talk generally about our flower experience. Say favorite flowers when we were little. Do you grow flowers? How connected are you with the floral world?
Okay, would you like to kick us off? What's your flower experience?
I don't really grow a lot of flowers. Sometimes I get like just like, you know, the little like almost ones that you put in like a windowsill.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't know. I think it's usually pansies or something. But I remember when I was little and my mom would get stuff for the garden, I would go along because, I don't know, I guess that's what parents do when you're a young child. You get brought along on the errands. And I think my favorite flowers were, I was little, one that I remember getting was alyssum, which is just, it has really small, I think, white flowers. My mom did not like the way it smells. but I thought the white flowers were cute. And then in the yard, I don't think we ever bought these, but they would pop up every year. They're the, we call them grape hyacinths, but I think they have a different name, like an official name. I'm not sure. But they basically look like a thing of grapes. So they're a bunch of little tiny purple flowers on like one stem.
Oh, okay. That's really interesting. I don't know if I've seen those ones before. Maybe we grew like different flowers because we live in different regions of the country. I don't know. Do you think that flowers vary regionally? Like, do you think what's popular here in my city might be different from what's popular in your city?
Oh, you mean preferences, not like ecologically.
Yeah, I'm going to go with preferences because I feel like ecologically the answer would be probably or yes. Even though I feel like our weather is relatively similar, where it might be yes, but I do think ecologically there would probably be some differences because you're closer to actual water.
Well, I think there's also like this whole movement about moving towards planting your local flora and fauna just for environmental purposes because I think a lot of us plant things because they're pretty and they're not necessarily native to the area, which also means we need to water them more or do certain things. I am not a gardening expert, so like anything I say, Google. I'm probably wrong. I mean, I know the basic general care of like you water it. I think it would be interesting. I think maybe as we talk more about the flowers, it might show if there's any sort of regional differences.
We'll have to see. Yeah, just for the record, neither Leanne or I are official gardeners or really like into gardening that much. I feel like we each do our own like little gardening stuff, but we don't have like a massive garden or anything like that.
We live in apartments.
We do. So we're just talking about the gardening with our hearts, you know? It's like, have we done research on this? Probably not more than maybe a YouTube video, and that would be generous.
Usually when something's wrong, right? Like, why is my basil turning brown?
Or like, oh, last year I harvested my cilantro, and I was like, how to harvest cilantro? And I watched a whole little video on it, and then I was like, oh, so this is how you do it. And so then I harvested it. And then I also think that my basil is actually growing this year because I think I harvested seeds last year because there were these little black things in the flowers and I was like, I'm pretty sure these are seeds and I will keep them and I will plant them. And now all of a sudden I have all these little sprouts that look the same and I'm like, I think this is my basil, but I'm not positive. If it's not my basil, I don't know what it is. So we'll see. Fingers crossed that it's my basil coming back because I got like some spicy basil. And I can't find it anywhere. But it was good.
I think most of our gardening experiences in the past year or so seem to be more with herbs and vegetables. I feel like, I don't know, maybe it's because I think flowers are, in my head, something you do more when you have a house and like landscaping and you put your flowers in.
I feel like flowers are the new grass. And here's what I mean by that. So like, you know how in the 1700s or whenever grass was becoming popular, it was like I have money, I can afford to have grass. I have land, I feel like that is kind of what flowers are now, because you, for a lot of flowers, you kind of need to have actual land to have flowers that will grow larger. So I feel like if you have flowers, you probably have an actual yard or an actual lawn, which is why we grow more like herbs and plants.
I agree. I also think that there's a lot of pretty flowering bushes that you can do when you have a house. My mom has rhododendrons, which I think may... No, Rose of Sharon's, which I think may, like, technically be a tree, but, like, some people can landscape them as a bush and some people just let them grow like trees. Ours are kind of like trees. And then she has another bush. I'm not sure what it is, but it has a bunch of, like, pink flowers. And then she also has, like, peonies that get really big and stuff. So it's like, you're not going to grow that on your apartment deck.
Circling back to the whole, like, your experience growing up with flowers. So my dad is a very avid maintainer of flowers. I would say like landscaper, but like he usually hired an actual landscaper. I think when they first got the house, I think they hired an actual landscaper and he's just kind of maintained and like, you know, supplemented as he wanted. But he would always have like so many plants. Like I want to say we probably had like 20 different flower pots or 20 different plants we'd have to water all the time. So that was my experience growing up, was he'd always ask us to go outside and water the plants, and I was terrified of bees, so it was a very, very stressful situation. Only if there were bees, though. If there were no bees, it was fine. But yeah, we always had a lot of flowers growing up. He would always make a big thing to go and buy new flowers if there were flowers that wouldn't come back.
On that note of being scared of bees, I think that's why for so long I wasn't necessarily like anti-flowers, but I was kind of anti-gardening because I associated it with bees. I love bees on their own, right? Like I love what they do for the environment, especially the fuzzy little furry little bumblebees, like super cute. I just don't want them anywhere near me. And I think that was a big block for me to get into gardening for a long time.
Yeah, I think that was similarly the block that I had was the bees. I used to tell my dad growing up that when I owned a house or an apartment that I would never, ever, ever have any plants whatsoever, especially no flowers, because I was like, I do not want any bees near me. So I was very adamant about this, but I have since changed my ways. So I guess in some sense of the word, he was right. But I primarily do, like you said, fruits, vegetables, herbs, that sort of deal. But one thing I will say that was really cute when I was growing up about the flowers that we had was we had these rose bushes out in front of our house. And so I always thought that that was kind of cute, even though the roses never really turned out looking super nice. Like they don't look like the roses you'd get at the grocery store. Like they open up and they're very like loose. But I still thought it was very cute. And then the other day, my dad said something that just really made me smile. And he was talking about when he first planted daffodils in our backyard. And he said that he planted a whole bunch of daffodils one year and continued to plant them afterwards. And he told my mom, he was like, I want you to look outside. I'm planting you a garden. And so he always said that that was like his garden that he had planted for her. So I thought that was really cute. Very romantic.
That's super cute. Okay, here's my thing. Let's pretend we live in an alternate universe where we could own homes.
Okay.
Would you do it yourself? I guess I mean like the initial planting, or would you hire somebody? Because I feel like if we're living in this alternate universe where I have a house, that means I have extra money. And so I feel like I would probably hire a landscaper, say every spring, and then I could like water and weed and all that. I think part of that is just because I feel like I don't necessarily know what looks good together, where to plant the certain things.
Yeah, I feel like I'd probably hire a landscaper for the initial, unless whatever house I had was like a really small house. And I think especially if I was planting flowers, like I think if I was doing like raised beds or something, I'd probably tough that out and figure that out on my own because I'm like, oh, it doesn't need to look that cute. It's just raised beds on the ground and it'll be fine. But I think if I was having actual flowers, I would maybe hire that out. Especially, like, you know how sometimes they have those wavy lines of flowers on the sides of people's houses where it's, like, not a straight line. They have, like, it like a cut down in the grass or something. Like, you know what I mean? Where it's, like, different levels. That would be a landscaper job. I could not do that myself. I do not have faith that I could do that myself. So I think for the initial year, yes, I would hire somebody. But I think afterwards, if I could maintain it on my own, I would just maintain on my own.
I was thinking about this for, say, a future home. I feel like I would want a lot of the, say, Rose of Sharon and that other random pink bush, that flowers, only because it's not something I have to do every year, right? Like, once it's planted, I just have to keep the thing alive. It's going to be coming back. Because I think I like the look of a garden. I just don't... Aw, hi, Ella. I just don't always love the idea of how much maintenance it would take to have to, like, think of a plan every year.
I have to say, if I had a garden, I feel like I'd want one of those trees that flowers before you have all the leaves on it. And then maybe some crocuses, because I feel like crocuses are just overall gorgeous. And then I don't know what I'd want for the other stuff. I feel like a lot of stuff that came back year over year would be nice, just because I'm lazy and I don't want to plant them all the time. I'll probably forget to plant them.
Can we talk about how old I was when I learned the difference between perennial and annual, and I feel like I still mix them up?
Oh, I don't know the difference. Is perennial like it comes back several times a year or something like that, and annual is once a year?
No, one of them doesn't come back at all, and then one of them will come back year after year.
Oh.
I agree. Whichever one is the one that comes back year after year, I think I'd want my garden to be primarily that, and then I could fill in certain areas with the flowers that are, like, just there for the summer.
Yeah, I think flowers that I would need to replant all the time, I'd have in, like, pots if I was to do that. I also think that if I, in this imaginary world with a house, I feel like I would also for sure have a lot of space dedicated towards growing food, herbs, etc. And the reason why is because I feel like it would help with microplastics. And that is my reason why I would grow my own food. And also, I feel like then you have less risk of contamination. Because I was watching a documentary a little while ago, and it talked about how, like, leafy greens and spinach have a really high risk of having some sort of disease. I want to say it was E. coli, but that might not be correct. Because a lot of what happens is there's a lot of runoff from cows, and the water goes, like, down the hill, and then it sits, and then your spinach and your leafy greens are made up of a lot of water, and then that's how you get E. coli. So I'd like to grow it myself.
I thought you were just going to say grocery prices.
No. That too, but no. I think it's mostly like, I think it would be helpful for microplastics because we eat like a credit card's worth of microplastics a week, supposedly, from what I've heard.
Oh yeah, that's what I was thinking about when you were talking about your gardens. I think I would have some flowers, preferably like a flowering bush or a flowering tree. And then I think if I was going to do it, a majority of it would be for food. Say lettuce, garlic, peppers, herbs. Because I think it's fun to, like, use stuff that you grew when you cook.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to ask you a question and ask you to get greedy for a moment. If you could have a tree, like a fruit tree, what fruit tree would be your fruit tree of choice?
So can we pretend that the trees can grow places that they really shouldn't be able to grow? Or does it have to be something, like, reasonable?
It can be, like, your wildest dreams. Whatever fruit you want to grow will grow.
Okay. I feel like the two things I'm thinking of are either a lemon tree or an avocado tree.
Ooh, both good options. I feel like those would be in my top four. I feel like my other two that I'd be very tempted by are a mango tree or an apple tree. So I feel like those are my top four and I cannot pick. I will just have to leave it at my top four because otherwise I will never be able to make a decision.
That's true, though. Like, I would love to put a fruit tree. It does take a few years for it to be able to start growing fruit.
My boyfriend, his parents had a lemon tree growing up, and he's always like, man, I would love to have a lemon tree because you can use it for so many things. Like, you think of all the things you use citrus for in cooking, and you're like, this is pretty great.
Also, like, whenever they tell you to zest something, like, a lot of times the supermarket lemons are wax coated. And so if you picked it off your own tree, you don't have to deal with that.
Exactly. It'd be so nice. So anyways, back to flowers. What this podcast is actually supposed to be about. So I put up a couple pictures of flowers. I know you talked about a couple of the ones that you grew growing up. Are there any here that are your favorites?
I think I like the hydrangeas and the tulips. Oh, and the zinnias. Because Sam, he used to like to eat zinnias, but he only liked to eat a certain kind because one year my mom got a different type of zinnia and he didn't want to eat it.
I feel like I used to really detest hydrangeas growing up because we had this bush of hydrangeas and I always thought that they just looked like big circles on a bush and I didn't really like them. But now I've grown to appreciate them more as I've grown older. I think it was also that whenever we cut them, they always had ants. And I was not about the ants.
I know my mom's peonies, they get pollinated by ants. It is a little creepy vibe seeing them all like everywhere.
I just remember sometimes we'd bring them in, we'd be like, there are no ants on this. And then we'd see some crawling across and be like, ah!
Yeah, I don't think we ever brought them in. Yeah, I'd probably be creeped out by that.
Yeah, we would like float them in a bowl of water or something because, yeah, so pretty. But also, the ants. I feel like for me, so my favorite flower is probably a daisy because I feel like they just look so cheery and cute and small. So I feel like if I could have a flower, I'd really like to have daisies in my yard.
Yeah, I think they're cute. I have a shirt with daisies. They have like three daisies across the front. So my not so fun fact about lilies, which I never had lilies growing up, whether in the garden or like when people gifted flowers, because my mom hates the smell of lilies. But my not so fun fact about them, and again, you can Google or talk to your vet, but they're extremely poisonous to cats to the point where if they get the pollen on their fur and they lick it, they can go into like kidney failure or liver failure. I forget which organ, but it's their liver or their kidney. And like, that's even like if they don't eat it, like they could go into like essentially fatal liver failure within like 24 hours.
What?
If you have any cats or if you're going anywhere with cats, don't bring the people lilies.
Wow, I never knew that. I would have never known. That's absolutely wild. So do you think that, like, you know how there are, like, house cats and there are street cats, right? Do you think the street cats know to avoid the lilies?
I don't know, but Sam somehow... Also, Sam is a cat. For anybody who's wondering if you're hearing me talk about something eating plants. He ate plants in the garden sometimes, but somehow they were always, like, whenever I would Google, like, can he eat this? Because, like, I would see him going towards it. It was things he could eat, like, for example, the zinnias. And he also ate one year when my mom was growing lemongrass. He ate the lemongrass.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I think maybe there's something instinctual, but I guess it could be hard if they're like, I think the hard part with lilies is like they don't have to eat it for it to affect them.
Yeah.
Because I think if it's like if they have to eat it, I think it's a lot easier to avoid.
I agree. Well, now I know that I absolutely should not bring lilies over to my aunt's house whenever I go to visit her, because she fostered cats and she's got, I think she has two cats now, so I can't bring her lilies.
Do you like lilies, like, as a flower?
I do, actually. I think it's because growing up we had them around the house, so I do like lilies. I wouldn't say they're, like, one of my top flowers, but I do appreciate them. I also liked them because they were very easy to draw. If you're looking for an easy flower to draw, lilies, excellent starting place. Highly recommend.
How do you feel about, this is a little bit of a twist, how do you feel about eating flowers? Like, for example, at my birthday, we went out to eat and Mark and then Kyle got one. But there's a drink that had lavender-infused, I don't know, gin or something. And I tried Kyle's, and I think I am not a fan of eating my flowers.
So when you said eating my flowers, I immediately thought of, like, you know when you go to a restaurant and they put, like, the flower on top of your meal for decoration? I was like, yeah, I would not eat those flowers. I was like, I know in theory you can, but I would not. I think in terms of, like, infusing them into, like, a drink or something, I actually do like that. But I think if it's, like, a flower on top of my meal... No. And the reason why I say I actually would like flowers for, like, in drinks and whatnot is because I remember when we were in China, I used to always get this, like, rose tea. And it wasn't that it was even that good. I just wanted a tea to drink. So I just drank it because I was like, I kind of want tea. And this is just a very different tea. So I will drink it because it's not a green tea. I don't love it, but I don't hate it. So I would just drink it. I don't even know why I did this. But yeah, it always makes me laugh looking back because I remember like a year or two ago, Angela had dried some rose petals and she sent them to me and she was like, oh, in case you want to make like your rose tea drink. And I was like, this is so funny because I actually felt very neutral about that. But I did used to drink it all the time. I don't even know why. I don't know why.
So about this mixed drink is, I think it was Kyle who was saying, yeah, you know, on first sip, it kind of tastes like you're drinking a bathtub. But then after a while, you drink more and it tastes pretty good. And I just couldn't get over that bathtub stage. And I think my bathtub, for anybody who's listening, I think he's thinking like, you know, like when you drop like a bath bomb or like a shower tablet and it just, your whole bathroom smells like lavender.
Yes. I think in general, I don't like the smell of lavender. I think I'm just anti-lavender, but that's my own personal beef. I do like rose, though. Rose, I like on a lot of things. Like the rose petals that Angela sent me, I actually took them and I think I made them into like lemon rose pistachio cookies. And they were so good. They were so good. I'm very appreciative that she sent me the rose petals.
See, I don't like rose, I don't think, because there's, what is it? Some famous Turkish candy thing that has rose, or like one of the flavors that they make it in is rose. And I don't think I like it. I think it goes back to that I don't like eating something that tastes the way a flower should smell.
I feel like rose is one that I will go to bat for. I will go to bat for roses 24/7 because I feel like they add like a nice little florally flavor that's just really good. It's kind of like how you can add citrus to a dish and it just elevates it. I think rose is the same way.
I don't like it. I don't like the floral taste. But here's the thing. I did not drink it for 4 months in China. So like it could be one of those things where like you just kind of build up a tolerance. But also you said you didn't even like it.
Okay, I liked it, but I didn't. Because like I feel like sometimes I made it light enough that it was good. And then other times I would make it too strong. And then I was like, oh, this tastes like I'm eating straight rose petals. And so I feel like it was a love-hate relationship. Like sometimes I really liked it and sometimes I really didn't. But I feel like either way, I was like, this is an easily accessible tea and I know exactly what's in it. So I will get this one.
I think it's kind of like how I feel about matcha.
Mm-hmm.
Because I got matcha powder like a year or so ago and like some days I was like, okay, this is kind of, I don't know, I wouldn't say good, but like I like it, right? And then some days I like, it tastes like I'm eating grass or drinking grass.
Yes. Yes. I feel like it's the same thing. Like you have to be in the appropriate mood for it. And if you are, it's delicious. And if not, then you're like, what am I doing with my life?
Are there any else on here that we eat?
Any other flowers on here that we eat? Not that I can see.
Jasmine. Is that the same thing? No.
I don't know. I feel like jasmine might be in like teas.
I know there's jasmine tea, but I don't know if it's the same thing. Is it the same thing?
I honestly have no idea. I just made that up.
I know jasmine tea is a thing, and I know jasmine the flower is a thing.
I wonder how many things we could make up on this podcast and our listeners would believe it. This is like, I'm sorry, I'm just like going down like a malicious thought road. I apologize to all of you listening. I don't try to do this intentionally. It just, the chaotic evil comes out sometimes.
I think we give too many disclaimers for anybody to believe anything.
That's true. They just have to assume that we don't really know. We're just talking to chat.
Exactly.
One thing that I will say, though, that's interesting about flowers is, you know the Ring Around the Rosy song?
Mm-hmm. Isn't it about, like, catching some disease?
Yes. Like, when they talk about, like, pocket folding a posy, I think that's something that they would actually do. I don't know exactly why they would do it. Like, I can't recall if it was to have luck or if it was to show mourning or if it was for protection against whatever disease it was. I feel like it was protection against whatever disease it was. But there's like a whole reasoning behind why that line is in there. And it's like an actual thing that people used to do.
I think that's not the only like nursery rhyme or like childhood song that's based off like real things. And then the real thing is kind of dark and twisted.
I feel like we could do a whole podcast about dark and twisted nursery rhymes.
We probably could, but that would also require research, and I feel like we kind of wrote off doing research for this show back in season one.
You know, and I stand by that decision. I think writing off doing research on this show was great because then we can just talk about whatever we feel like talking about and it's very low key and then we're able to put out an episode a week. If we did research, you guys would probably be lucky if you got an episode a quarter.
I think they'd be lucky if this podcast was still a thing if we did research for it.
That's true. I appreciate your honesty.
One thing I would like to say is, you know the whole saying, butter up, buttercup?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like I knew it was a flower, but I don't think I've ever seen that flower until today.
Is it butter up, buttercup, or is it buckle up, buttercup? Because I thought it was buckle up. Like, get ready. Speaking of flower analogies, so there's also the analogy that's nip it in the bud, right? To, like, stop something before it starts. But sometimes you'll also hear people say something like snip it in the bud, like if you were to snip the bud.
Who says that?
I feel like Long might have used to have said that until we had like a whole conversation about it. Don't quote me though. I can't recall. He might have said it correctly, but I can't recall. But I've definitely heard it from other people too. It would not just have been from him. But then one day I came across a meme that was talking about that, and it talked about how somebody's coworker said snip it in the butt instead of nip it in the bud. And so now I started saying it ironically and now I can't stop.
I feel like you do that so often, like with paprika.
I do. I start saying these things ironically and then I can't stop. And now I'm just like, God forbid, if I have to say nip it in the bud in a professional work setting, I'm going to say snip it in the butt.
Well, like you said off camera, we're not on camera. Off recording, everybody has a butt.
Everybody has a butt. It's okay. I feel like this just got progressively more unhinged, but I'm here for it.
I told you about how when Let's Go to Court records later than they usually do, and they call it, like, for fun, they call it Let's Go to Court After Dark. I feel like that's the point we have reached. Like, who knows where the rest of these recordings are gonna go tonight.
I feel like that's fun, though. People are gonna get some really chaotic episodes out of us, and it'll be entertaining. If nothing else.
The part that's hilarious is because we badge record, people are going to think we're loopy for like a month.
No, literally just currently because we're not recording in the morning. Because I don't know, are you a morning person?
Yeah. I don't function well this time of night.
See, I am an evening person. In the morning, I have no personality other than shuffle around in a blanket and drink water. That is my entire morning personality. And I need to lay in bed for like at least 30 minutes before I get up. I cannot function in the morning. But in the evening times, I feel like a fully functional human being.
I think my thing is like in evening times, I could do something like this, but I can't do schoolwork. My brain shuts off at like 5.
Really? Mine is like I could do schoolwork till like 1 a.m. It's like power hour. I love the evening times.
That was me all through high school, but I think that was, like, not by choice.
That is definitely fair. I mean, I don't know if it'd be the same now because, I don't know, I haven't really had to stay up late to do things, but, like, a lot of the times, in the evening times, I'll be like, and I'm going to stay up till 1 a.m. and draw. Doesn't matter that it's a work day. No. Not frequently, but occasionally.
Any other flower stuff?
Any other flower stuff? I'll just list off a couple other ones that I appreciate. I really like crocuses. I didn't realize how much I liked them until I moved to where I currently live, and there are a whole bunch of crocuses that come out every year in the spring, and then you see everybody's lawn dotted with these cute little crocuses. And I also am really partial to daffodils because, like I said, we had daffodils in my backyard, and now it always makes me think of that story with my dad and my mom, and I think it's very cute.
We also have crocuses, and back in the day, they used to always come out around St. Patrick's Day, so we'd just call them St. Patrick's Day crocuses. I don't know what they're actually called, but that's what we call them. But, like, it's kind of weird because some years, especially more recently, we've noticed them coming up, like, way before St. Patrick's Day. And so then, every year that they come up early, we're just like, okay, climate change!
Now, they're no longer St. Patrick's Day crocuses, they're New Year's crocuses!
Hasn't gone that bad yet, and I hope it won't, but yeah, they come up earlier now. Also, I do like a hibiscus flower, or I think it's a hibiscus flower because there's one on the thing you posted, and at Kyle's parents, they have one, and they're very pretty. They're very colorful, you know, like they're rich in color. It's next to one of the lilies, and the daffodil.
I am definitely looking for it right now. Oh, yeah, I like hibiscus flowers too, but I think it's because they remind me of vacation, because they look like a tropical flower. Also, speaking of flowers and nature, this is going to be a hard right turn for a minute. Do you guys get cicadas where you are?
Okay, we do. I remember in August, because we used to, something about how like it was always the sound of like when I had to go back to school, but you're about to talk about when the group whatever cicadas and the group whatever cicadas too, how they're both coming out at the same time this year and
correct
basically the band of the US where you live, and there's literally going to be like a million cicadas running around. And I read a New York Times article about how there's going to be so many cicadas that like the last time this happened, people were literally shoveling the dead cicadas out of the street.
Ew. But yes, that's 100% what I'm about to talk about.
Sorry if I took the wind out of your sails.
No. I'm so glad that you put it in that light, because I could not have put it any better. And I feel like that was very much showed the predicament that I am in. I'm not sure if these are the same cicadas that came out like when I was in high school or middle school. I can't recall. I feel like it was when I was in high school. But I just remember, because we lived nearby a lot of nature growing up, I remember I could not go outside in the summer because it was deafening. And I'm just like, well, hopefully now that I'm closer to a city, it won't be quite as bad. But also there's a lot of trees where I live, and so I'm not fully convinced. So we shall see. Keep me in your thoughts and prayers, guys, because the cicadas are coming.
When I read about this, I was like, thank God I don't live there, because what? Oh, I think I was reading about it. It was something about like how nature and how like nature likes prime numbers or nature like numbers or something. It's because the reason it's so rare is that it's, I just did a quick Google, is that it's a 13-year cycle and the 17-year cycle. And so like they almost never overlap. And so then when they do, my quick Google search, which brought me to CNN, it says billions of cicadas are set to appear in rare double brood emergence. So billions. And if you need to come stay with me and work remotely, we have a spare bed now.
Thank you. I appreciate your support in this life or death cicada matter. I will keep you posted as to what is happening and how I'm doing. I hope that they're not nearly as bad by you. I'm going to keep my fingers crossed for you. Are they supposed to be bad by you?
I don't think so. I think it's more where you are. I don't know if we should say that out loud, because then people can figure things out. We can cut that.
I'm okay with it. I mean, if people really want to look up where I live, I mean, like, I care, but I don't care that much. If you want to spend your time researching cicadas to figure out where I live, you're dedicated.
Now I can't find it, and now I'm concerned that they're coming for me.
Hopefully they're not coming for you. I feel like it's not as prevalent where you live, but I could be wrong.
Like, I know we had them in the sense of, like, anyway, I'm going in a circle. I'm going down a rabbit hole, so feel free to rap whenever you want, because now I need to figure out whether I need to carry a cicada shovel.
I will say the one positive thing about the cicadas coming out is that you can use them as fishing bait if you like fishing, which is totally inhumane, but you can do it and you can get fish and feed yourself. If there's an apocalypse, cicadas are the answer.
Also, I do remember one of those things where, like, I guess the scientists are saying, like, even though there's going to be, like, a ton of them, don't kill them on purpose because, like, I don't know, they do something. Also, the scientists are super into this. They seem very excited about it.
I would believe that. I remember the one time that it happened, like, a while back where we had a ton of cicadas come out. I remember I felt like I was so special because I found a green-eyed cicada, and it was when the orange-eyed cicadas were out, and I was like, oh my gosh, I found this rare cicada. I feel like it's like finding a shiny Pokemon. It was very, very cool.
Okay, so I did a quick Google search, which brought me to a map on CBS. And so basically there's two broods. One's called the Georgia brood, appears in Georgia in the southeast, and one will appear in Illinois. And then when you look at the map, it basically looks like parts of Illinois, Iowa, Missouri, Kentucky, all the way kind of like curved down towards Georgia.
So like the whole Midwest.
Yeah.
Disgusting.
This has nothing to do with flowers.
It has something to do with flowers because it is nature. They could pollinate the flowers. I don't know. I don't know what the cicadas do. They pretty much just come up, have babies, and die. And that's it.
Yeah. Okay, but here's the thing. Like, it's kind of nasty and gross, but also kind of cool.
It is. But also kind of gross. All right. Thank you for joining us for a conversation on not just flowers, but also cicadas, and also fruit trees. And a couple other things sprinkled in between, I'm sure. Our next book club is going to be The Celebrants by Stephen Rowley, and that will be dropping on June 3rd.
We'd love to hear what you think about flowers, what your dream garden would look like, and whether you're in the line of danger of this giant cicada emergence. So feel free to send us an email at zileniuspodcast@gmail.com or DM us on Instagram @zileniuspodcast. And don't forget to rate and review the show wherever you're listening.